and welcome to Root Causes, the PKI Security Podcast, where a pair of industry veterans talk about all matters digital certificates and PKI. I'm Tim Callen, Chief Experience Officer at Sigtigo, and I'm here with Jason Sirocco, SVP of Product at Sigtigo. How are you doing today, Jason?
Doing great, Tim. Thanks for having me.
All right, so today we wanted to talk about CT logs and privacy.
Yeah. CT logs. Yeah. It's been a little while since we talked about them.
Yeah.
It's a common topic. It's a good one for us. It's a good one for this podcast. It's such a great idea. It's such a great idea to have CT logs. And I'll tell you something, if I'm an owner of a website, or if I'm an owner of a large farm of domains that have certificates issued against them, and I have a big important brand, I definitely want to have a public record of issuance.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to spot misissuance in my name and be able to audit against it. And these are all good things.
Right. So CTA logs, the 30 seconds on CT logs is for every issue, for every publicly issued TLS certificate, for every TLS, aka SSL certificate that's issued on a public route, the CA has to report this to multiple of what were called certificate transparency logs. And then there are tools, and crt.sh is the best known of them, but it's not the only one, but it's the most used, that will then gather the results of these logs together, and it will allow you to have visibility on certificates that are issued. And you can do various kinds of searches and things in order to find the certificates. And one application of that, of course, is that you can monitor certificates that are issued against your own domain space. So you can say, if there are certificates that are being issued against my domains and I don't know about it, I can find them through a CT log. And that's not the only one, but one of the motivators behind the original creation of this whole ecosystem. Sorry, go ahead, Jay.
Oh, no, that is the explainer. I think, you know, when you get into topics of privacy, as much as it is great that, you know, I can check my own work and the work of others against the public CT logs, that keyword of public is an important one. And it's not surprising, Tim, that a lot of enterprises will issue publicly trusted certificates, even if they're not for web servers that will ever be used in the public domain. They're, right. They're used exclusively within the enterprise.
Yeah. And so now the CT log can give anybody, not just me, the owner of that domain or the owner of that brand, but anybody, a little bit of a map as to what I have, what my network architecture may look like, at least what the set of my domains may look like. It can show people a subset of the active domains and subdomains are. And there is a thought that this could be useful from from the perspective of a criminal who is attempting to case your network and figure out a strategy or a plan or an attack plan for trying to do malicious things to you.
Oh, exactly right. Yeah. So Tim, you know, I'm gonna try to do an inventory of issues, especially, you know, related to privacy. Mm-hmm. And so if you have basically, you know, your organization's internal network structure,
right,
you might have subdomains that are internally facing that you've issued certificates against. And you know, something dot your company name.com, and you know, this and that, and the other thing, it might expose parts of the company that, you know, especially depending on your naming conventions, it might give away information to competitors, mm-hmm, or other things. And you know, you might even have personal projects that are, you know, that you're trying to do that are not faced externally at all. It might even be Skunkworks programs,
yeah,
within your between just yourself. You're trying to develop IP. You're trying to invent something, and you know, depending on how you've named your subdomains, these things will become public record and publicly available.
Right. And maybe some of that could be masked with enough careful consideration,
yeah,
but doing so might have a toll on the organization, right? There's reasons to give people clear names and give names clear hierarchies and architectures. And it, you know, especially if you have large numbers of people working on a project, it eliminates confusion and it makes it easier for things to run correctly. And if you're actually going to go out of your way to obfuscate your names in your subdomain, in your URL structure, that itself could have a negative impact on the overall operation of the business, at least to some degree.
And if you think diagonally a little bit, Tim, you can imagine that a bad guy could use the timing of a CT log entry to, you know, to basically as an information gathering tool around the timing of a phishing attack. So think about, you know, a new subdomain being created, you know, a new initiative being created.
If subdomains always show up Wednesdays between midnight and 2 a.m., then you know that that would be the right time to stage a certain attack. Things along those lines, Jay?
Yeah, yeah. But it could even be more a little more subtle, which is think about subdomains that are related to you know, CRM systems or internal HR systems, email systems that are new. And if a bad guy wants to do a phishing attack and look somehow knowledgeable within an email or you know, through a phone call, any form of social engineering, knowing that a new HR system has popped up, might lend itself to a very sophisticated form of phishing.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't think I'm giving the bad guys any ideas here. This is fairly well known. And so therefore I'm just saying, it's not just the privacy of, maybe you don't want to give away to your competitors the fact that you have certain tests, you know, 13 is, you know, test servers online that you've issued certificates to, that's, you know, that might be bad enough for you. But on the other hand, you might also be giving away a lot of information to bad guys that are trying to form a sophisticated social engineering attack around the creation of new infrastructure within your company. It's quite often that information is given away by the way that a subdomain is named and a certificate that is issued against it.
Yeah, and this kind of thing you imagine requires a certain amount of, you know, human scrutiny and human study. But if you're talking about an advanced attack against a high value target, right? If you're talking about the kind of thing that goes along with a custom spear phishing attack, then that is well within the realm of what's quite practical to do.
Tim, I also think it might be a little bit on the edge, but I think it's also something to consider. Depending on the type of certificate you have, the certificate will contain the organization name, organizational unit, country, locality, those kinds of things that are often logged along with the certificate and would be part of certificate log information. If that information is sensitive to you, you might not want that information getting out. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, the way that you're creating these certificates, we really should be thinking about, you know, what you're putting in that CSR and thinking about, you know, locality information and org name, and making sure you're not, because whatever you put in there is going to be public is the point.
So your point being that I could use the, I could use my corporate headquarters address, or I could use the address of the actual data center where I'm going to be deploying the certs into racks, and they'd probably both pass authentication. And you'd rather the corporate address was the one that was in the cert, because you don't want to tell an attacker where to come with the backcode and knock you offline, by way of example.
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes it might not seem like a lot of information, but to the bad guy, any information is a lot, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing that occurs to me, Jason, is it could also telegraph business plans. So I was told an anecdote, and I was trying to remember the details, but I was told an anecdote by a friend of mine who worked for a different company, and they were working on a new product, and I forget which way it was. I think they registered for the trademark before they bought the URL, or vice versa. I think they registered for the trademark before they bought the URL. And then their chief competitor ran out and bought the URL.
Right.
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 Because they had telegraphed their intentions. And this was person telling this to me as a warning, right? As a lesson, which is do them all at the same time. Right. But you could imagine if people are preparing for, let's say, a product launch, they might be out registering domains or creating subdomains that telegraph their intentions as a business. And even if they don't have that exposure, like somebody else is going to take away my trademark, they might just have the exposure that my competitors know what I'm up to months before they needed to. right?
I bet you there's people who, if they're not full-time, they're a big chunk of their job is competitive intelligence.
Yeah.
And they're looking for these kinds of things. Yeah, I guarantee it.
A major corporation, if I'm a large food manufacturer and I suddenly come out with a new domain, right? That is, ultrarichmacandcheese.com. I think I've maybe given away to my competitors what I plan to do. And that might be valuable intelligence that actually makes a difference in terms of dollars and cents in the market. And that too is the kind of thing that could come out by way of CT logs.
I would imagine that if you're in the business of squatting on domain names, one of the best ways to figure out trends in domain name creation is simply to watch CT logs.
Sure, absolutely. Because they're the ones that are being really used, right? Presumably there is some amount of genuine value and most of the time some kind of commercial value that is attached to things if people are bothered to get certificates for them in the first place.
It's funny. I wonder how long it's going to take before somebody comes up with a, you know, CT log trending names website. So Tim, you know, on a similar vein to that, you can imagine. So, that's competitive information that you don't want to get to a competitor.
Right.
Just to go back to, you know, the typical bad guy for a moment, I would also imagine that quite often SSL issuance occurs before the full blown website's being created.
You'd imagine. Yeah.
You'd imagine. And so I could see a bad guy. I'm sure it's been done. In fact, it's probably been done a lot. Where the bad guy is taking advantage of this arbitrage of, you know, the website not being up yet, but the SSL certificate's been issued, and the bad guy creating a fake version of that site and, you know, using social engineering to draw people to it for credential harvesting or whatever it happens to be.
Yeah, that's an opportunity. And if you maybe could combine that, if you manage to do a DNS poisoning attack, then that could actually be effective.
There it is. So that's a few things, isn't it, Tim?
Yeah. So I don't think, let's just add, do not misinterpret this conversation as to say that CT logs are under fire in any way. CT logs are widely considered to be a net positive for overall WebPKI security and quality. There is no serious talk in any quarters that I'm hearing about mitigating or dialing back or eliminating CT logs. But at the same time, I think it's good to recognize that so many things come with puts and takes. And with CT logs come this new set of potential vulnerabilities or problems or weaknesses or attacks that otherwise wouldn't exist. And we just wanted to spell out what they are.
That's it. CT logs are a great idea, but like anything else, it has implications. And I think we've spelled out quite a few of them, probably not completely exhaustive, but that's probably at least not a few to think about.
So yeah, if there's something else we didn't think of, you know, send me a LinkedIn like you guys always do. And we may do a follow-up with your great ideas. But anyway, thank you, Jason.
Thank you, Tim.
This has been Root Causes.